Welcome back. It's another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. And Ben, I just realized this. It's Wednesday, and you and I have not talked about Hay Day yet.
Well, we've gotten our wish. Not that we're going to get into this, but we've gotten our wish where we've basically gotten to commit every day that we said we this week. So we could go down that road. We're not going to, but we've gotten one every day. So we don't need to go down that road because you know what's going to happen when you and I get done recording this. There's going to be somebody that commit. A guard is going to commit to Auburn today.
Exactly. Yeah. Something's. We're going to get another one. It's going to be dated. You know, by the time this thing goes out.
Oh, you know, we brought this on ourselves. We said Monday, hey, maybe we're going to commit every day. Well, we're doing that.
Well, we got one Friday and on Monday, so it was working. And then, you know, yesterday we didn't record it, which was on me.
But still, we got one yesterday. We got the South Alabama.
But we got one yesterday too. So like it was a trickle effect. But no, we're going to talk about A-Day today. We're going to talk about it from a little bit of a different perspective, not just like, oh, here's my A-Day recap. Here's all the, you know, what I thought, blah, 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 blah. No, there are some, I think everybody, when you go into a spring, you're like, okay, feel good about this group, feel good about this group. Don't know about this one, a little concerned about this one. So I want to kind of take some of those and say, hey, after spring, how do we feel about it? And I want to start with the offensive line. I want to get your take on, you know, take into consideration everything we heard throughout spring and then what we saw at the game, what we've heard from the game on this past Saturday. Where are you at with the offensive line as far as where they were and where they are now?
I am neutral on the offensive line. Okay. And the reason being is because I think that the
– on brand answer.
Exactly. I think the final exam for the offensive line will come week two or three of the fall. And the reason being is because going into it, I was a little concerned.
Okay.
And then we've had some injuries. We don't know where guys are going to be. Essentially right now, we know that Best is going to be the center. And we know
maybe Derek Platt. We know Best is going to be center. Probably Derek Platt is going to be your left guard. And Joseph Simmons is going to be a tackle.
Right. But we don't know what side he's going to be tackled.
Yeah, so, probably right, but we'll see.
And so that's why I say neutral, because due to injuries, due to movement, still trying to get guys where they need to be, I don't think we learned good, bad, or indifferent. I said this when I visited with Zach on my show. You know, probably the only thing that stood out offensive line-wise during A-Day was Best had some high snaps, and people have complained about that. That may be an issue. I still – chalk that up to adrenaline and nerves.
Concerns first about time out.
So yeah, I everything I've heard about Cole Best, like he is where he needs to be. He will be the starter, and we need to keep him healthy all year. So that's why I say neutral, because when fall camp opens, Kyle, I'm not real sure what guys are going to be where except for Cole Best. Yeah. So I think that
let me see if I can get you to clarify. So when you say neutral, You've gone from concerned to neither concerned nor happy. You just had no change and you're still concerned.
Right. Yeah. I went from concerned to I know we've got the bodies. I know we've got the players.
Not enough to get you into the you feel good, but better good enough to get you out of the feel bad.
You know when I feel good, Kyle? When I feel good about it is when we play Florida. If a hole opens up, Omar Mattson rolls one off for about 25 or 30.
Okay.
Or, you know, then – or we don't have any sacks in an SEC game or something like that. Then all of a sudden I'm going to be like, okay, I feel real good about this
offensive line. So I will say this, Ben. Technically, you do feel better about the offensive line. If we're getting –
Yeah, I feel better. But I wasn't worried going in.
So I was. So here's where I am. Okay.
So then you're better. Then you feel better.
I was terribly concerned because
well, wait a second. That's a big deal. Terribly concerned.
I was very, very concerned really going into that last scrimmage before A-Day.
Yeah.
Because from everything that we were told is like, they literally could get nothing done on offense. When they would go to the 11 on 11 periods, like it would be, they would just get crushed. You know, remember in the scrimmage, the last scrimmage, they were talking about how we were doing a lot of situational stuff, and it was like second and third and longs. Remember? Yep. Remember him saying that? Well, why would you practice that?
Because
you're in them in a lot. Yeah. You know what I mean? And if you're in those a lot, that means you're not getting anything done on first down. So I went into that thinking we probably can't run the ball. Like that's going to be a – if we can't run the ball and we just got to depend on Byram, like that's going to put us in a bind. And what I saw, particularly on the interior, is I saw us get a good – amount of push at times. It was push. It was give and take. Like we'd lose some and we'd win some. And to me, that's all I wanted to see. I wanted to see some explosives in the run game. You saw that with Jeremiah Cobb, ripped off a few. So what I'm not saying it's perfect, kind of like you. I'm not saying we're going to be elite. I know he wants to, Golish wants to demand being elite. I'm not saying we're there yet, but think about that scrimmage. Okay. We're running the ball with no threat from Byram to pull it and go. And the defense knows all our plays. Okay. Yeah. So a lot of times they probably know we're going to run it and we're still able to push it and get some tough yards. And that is fantastic. Like that is not what the messaging, you know, has been. And I say messaging, it's really just the reports and things that have come out from people that watch the scrimmages throughout spring. So I left feeling much more confident that Auburn's going to be able to run the ball a little bit because, Ben, I know that this is cliche and I know that people are probably tired of hearing it, but like think about the space they were able to create on Saturday. Now think about it when the defenders have to think about who's got the ball there's the threat that Byram could pull it and you have to wait that one extra second, or you have to be just a little bit less aggressive and read just a little bit more. So you make sure you don't make the wrong decision. I don't know that maybe I'm bugging, but I left feeling a lot better than I did prior as far as the offensive line is.
They passed the midterm exam, but you're still holding out to see how well they do on the final as well.
Yeah. Because, I mean, anybody could say this about their offensive line, but like second long and third and longs, obvious pass downs are probably going to be a problem. I mean, unless Stanton Ramil is just a, you know, bona fide stud, which he could be, that any team struggles in that. But I think particularly like those obvious passing down, you know, blocking, they do get the ball out quick, but if you got to really push it downfield, there could be, you know, you could have some issues there, but
you may have some PTSD too, because we've lived in the last 5 years. We've lived
no doubt about that.
So, I mean, even when we were running the ball well with Jarquez, we still decided to put the ball in the air three times in Oklahoma when he was literally running all over the place. And it was like, hey, let's throw it now. And then next thing you know, we're third and long instead of, you know, second and two.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he was picking up 7 yards a game that game. I digress. PTSD with me too, maybe. Maybe that's what to do with it. So, this comes down to, Kyle, the people that had the concerns, you know, the coaching staff mentioned it, but I think I told the story to you where apparently there were some high school coaches that were there and they were concerned. And I know everybody goes, oh, they're high school. These are big high school coaches. I mean, they're basically coaching small college ball, and they go to all these coaching clinics and they're allowed to come out by Golish and see and learn from the staff that's on the field there. And so they had concerns as well. Like in the people that were able to stay there extended amounts of time at practice had the concerns. So that's where I was getting some of the info from.
Yeah.
But again, I guess, yeah, technically I feel a little bit better because I kind of went in neutral and now I'm not as worried. So I guess that was a progressive, you know, uptick.
Yeah, it's an uptick.
It's not. The people freaking out don't need to freak out. I'm just saying that. Not yet.
Yeah. Now, like me. Like, calm down, Kyle.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, now, we open up against Baylor and we go into halftime with -3 yards rushing. Have some concern, Kyle.
No, for sure.
I mean, it's a
– we ran all over them last year, though, so I would imagine we'll have a fair amount of success on the ground again. I wanted to hit more positions. That was actually a much more in-depth conversation than I expected. But let's hit a couple sponsors, and then we'll talk about defensive line, running backs, whatever, in just a minute. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to buyauburn.com, we got our first restaurant. I'm fired up about this. In Troy, Alabama, B. Graves Restaurant and Bar looks pretty swanky. I want to try to – I'm going to get down there and give this place a try. But that's just a part of what we're trying to build here is letting Auburn people know where Auburn-owned businesses are. And here we got a restaurant in Troy, Alabama. Hey, if there's a restaurant in Birmingham that's Auburn-owned, we want it on here. Huntsville, Decatur, Boaz, Mobile, Thomasville. Doesn't matter. Anywhere. I started going in the bag there of like.
Kyle sucks at geography. He has no idea where a lot of those places are, I promise.
Rural Alabama towns. Doesn't matter. We want you on here. So check it out. BuyAuburn.com. And then also AUShirts.com. Dropped a new one today, Ben.
You did.
Dropped a new one today. Trees and Threes.
I love it.
Shout out to Mama Blackerby for that one.
Oh.
She created that one this morning in the Locked on Auburn chat. Auburn basketball, it's going to be a lot of trees and threes, baby. Tall, a lot of length and banging threes. That's the kind of stuff we're putting up like weekly. So make sure you check it out, aushirts.com. Ben, I want to talk about – let's go with defensive line. And okay. Particularly, I mean, you could break this up into two different conversations, but you obviously got the interior and then you got pass rush. Mm-hmm. I'll start, okay? I would say if you made a list of like the things that are the most concerning about this team, I would have had pass rush up at the top of the list, like close to the top of the list.
You said that
not because it's not there from a talent perspective, but you just haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And I think Jared Smith could be like a marquee guy in the SEC. I was talking to my uncle who lives in Alabaster, his wife taught in Alabaster. They now live just outside, but his sons went to Thompson. And I was like, why didn't Jared Smith play every single down? And he's like, I've always asked that same question. I have no idea. He didn't play every single down, but like every time he went in, he was just incredibly disruptive. Did that last year. You know, there were some guys in front of him. When he did go in, he was disruptive, but it's still like this unknown of what he can be. And I think he showed on Saturday what he can be. And that is, I think, potentially like all SEC caliber defensive end. And then, you know, there's some guys behind him as well. So I think going into spring, I was very concerned and I left quite a bit less concerned on pass rush than I did going in.
See, and I was going into, and you're breaking down between interior and pass rush. I said as a whole, I went in kind of neutral because I wasn't real sure how good the offense was. So I think we learned that last year. I highly touted the defense last year, and the defense did get good before the year was over with. But to start the season last year, I was a little concerned with our defense because I really went into fall going, this defense should be awesome. And then it wasn't necessarily statistic-wise awesome until they started gelling together. And so I went in kind of neutral with the spring because I was like, look, we don't know how good the defense is because we don't know if the offense sucks or not. So the defense may not be very good. And so I kind of went into it neutral. And then after A-Day, with what I saw out of defensive backs, what I saw out of pass rush, I think the linebackers are better than I probably assumed that they were. And then the interior linemen, I came out way better, like positive-wise, than what I went into it. Because I went into it just, I don't want to say down on them, just not knowing. Because there's so much on the other side of the ball that affects that as far as the talent-wise on the offensive side of the football. So I came away with a positive, like having ball hawks in the secondary, getting pressure from, you know, from the edge, getting a little pressure from the interior, being able to at least be disruptive on the interior as far as – I mean, I've told you my dream on interior linemen, defensive linemen is – just take up space, man. You know, I'm not looking for you to get two sacks a game or a sack a game. I'm looking for you so that when that running back gets to the line, they've got to all of a sudden change directions and give the edges a chance to show up with bad intentions. And so if you can be a defensive lineman that plugs a hole, I'm good with it. And it seems like I kind of saw that a little bit on Saturday.
Ben, we're going to do a pivot. We're going to do a pivot completely away from what we're talking about.
Okay.
And you, let me tell you why.
We just had somebody else commit.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. We spoke this into existence.
This is insane.
This is
so funny. So Auburn basketball, Auburn Hoops just gets a, you know, you're looking for that combo guard that can play point. They finally get that one nailed down as George Kimball III coming to Auburn via Vandy. He actually missed the whole year last year at Vandy due to, I believe, a knee injury possibly. Okay. But he played at Eastern Kentucky prior. So he went from Eastern Kentucky to Vandy last year, didn't play. He's hurt. And now he's coming to Auburn. He's 6'2", like 185 pounds. And he's that, I mean, he's a guard. He's a guard that can play one. He's a guard that can play two. He scored 18 points a game in that season at Eastern Kentucky. Here's the thing. He had 2.6 steals per game. He's a menace on defense, which is that is on brand for Stephen Pearl. 35% from three, 85% from the line. Don't know much about him other than that, but hey, there you go. You got you a big one. There's your guard that you were looking for. That doesn't have to be a starter,
but he's
good enough to, you know, had some experience at starter, and he can spell Tahad while either Tahad comes off the court or slides over to two. Whatever. So George Kimball III. There you go. We got us another commitment while we're recording.
See, every day, man. And Auburn and Vandy, you know, trading as a that was a trade right there with Sway headed to Vandy, and now we get Kimball III coming here. So as free agency season continues, some trades hit the it's like that Sports Center, like did it. We just got the trade that just took place over the wire.
And, you know, who the last guard was we got from Eastern Kentucky?
Who?
Mr. Wendell Green Jr.
Ah, yes, we did. He was not 6'2".
I loved Wendell. I know people he frustrated people a lot. I was a big fan, especially the first half of that Jabari season. He was electric. He was electric. I know he got, you know, kind of frustrating there towards the end. But – hey, there you go. So there's your guard. And then other breaking news, Emeka Opurim is going into the portal. So now, womp womp, Auburn only has 2 7-footers instead of three, which is so lame.
That's odd. Odd that he's doing that with the health-related issues. I mean, clearly somebody sees something in him that they probably – and that's like Freeman. I hate to claim Vandy was tampering, but – he enters the portal, and less than 24 hours later, he signs with Vandy. I mean, come on, man.
Ah, who cares?
Oh, I know. Who cares? But
everybody's
you just wonder who's been in Opurim's ear who may know something that we don't know.
I don't think he's going to play this year. I really don't. I don't know that he was going to be healthy enough to play, and then I don't know how much he would have ever cracked the lineup. It's unfortunate because I think there was some promise there.
Yeah.
But it had a major setback this past year. So you lose that one. I mean, I guess in theory that opens up another potential spot. You're pretty set in the front court. But I mean, maybe you could go find another.
So in the back court, now adding a point / possible two, that was going to take us to two scholarships. However, with Opurim jumping in, we're back to three again. It seems like.
Yeah, I think that's correct. So. You got three spots left. I think they still want to. They're still looking for a marquee wing. Really, I mean, honestly, a guy that's a true wing or like a combo guard, not a combo guard, a combo 2-3 guy that can fill it up. I think they want to find a good 3-point shooter. There's still the European guy that they're looking at. There's the kid from Arizona. That could be sort of like a backup plan if the eligibility thing doesn't go through. So there's still some spots left, but I mean, I think that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a guy that, and also I think he has another year after this.
Oh, okay.
So potentially
a couple of years of a new point guard.
Yeah. Potentially you could have, you know, at least one more, if not two more years after this season. So,
and as you deemed him, a defensive menace.
Defensive home wrecker. There you go. He just kills you on defense. let's see, he's 3 assists per game, 18 points per game at Eastern Kentucky, 3 rebounds a game, so almost 4 rebounds a game. So that's pretty good for a guard.
A 6'2 guard.
Yeah, 6'2 point guard. That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. So Steven's putting together a pretty fun little roster, man. It looks like they're going to have a good mix of size and hopefully some more. Give me one more shooter. You got Olsen from South Alabama. Give me one more on the court so I can have, you know, I can have 2 or 3 guys out there that can, you know, get it wet at any point in time. So that'd be fun.
I will say the Olsen from South Alabama, if you guys have not watched his tape, that dude can fill it up, dude.
You know, Ben, he shot – I've said this on multiple shows now, but I want to tell you too. This past season, his attempts per game were almost identical to Bryce Brown's the year we went on the Final Four run. So
yes.
This ain't a big guy that went like 12 for 20 on the season. He made like 102 threes this year.
If I'm not mistaken, he led the conference in attempts.
I think he was second in makes.
Yeah.
So he was that's his game. He's a 6'8" dead eye shooter. So that's
tough for a guard that's 6'2" to cover a 6'8" guy that's on the outside on a pull-up shot.
Could be tough. So that's fun. That was a fun pivot. I'm glad I was watching.
Not just a fun pivot. It gives us something to talk about tomorrow because we'll have another commit. We've said it right here. I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all. Y'all look forward to that. And we can finish the conversation about, who we like from A-Day. We continue the A-Day conversation and wait for that breaking news while we're recording.
That's fun. That's fun. I dig that. Guys, y'all take it easy. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.